Why are there ridges on Reese's peanut butter cups? Probably so they never slip from her hands. Could you imagine? I'd lose it. Luckily, Reese's thought about that. Wonder what else they think about. Probably chocolate and peanut butter.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm joined by Dr. Richard Hogan, family psychotherapist and clinical director, author of Home is Where the Start Is, because we want to talk about the availability of porn to teenagers and what parents can do when they suspect or know that their children are accessing this stuff on various screens. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
First of all, they are, aren't they?
They are. That's I hate to say that, Pat. I'd love to be talking here about how to thrive over Christmas and how to thrive as a family, but they are. It's embedded into all aspects of social media, and they're consuming it younger and younger. The IWF, you know, the Internet Watch Foundation, found that over 270,000 images that were of a sexual nature were self-generated between 8 and 10 year olds, and so that's the early sexualization of our children.
They are generating these images themselves.
They're self-generated. So that is the early sexualization of our children. And we have to be aware as parents. I think we've been supine for a long time here, and we have to wake up to this, because this is the reality. These devices, they're with ubiquitous internet access, allows our children to... There's no blockers there, Pat. It allows our children to consume pornography at any age, now.
What is the typical age for getting a smartphone?
Around 12, I suppose, but children are getting them younger and younger.
Okay, right, and parents think it's cool.
Well, there's pressure on parents. We have to acknowledge the incredible tsunami of pressure on parents too. I felt it myself. I have three daughters myself. My daughter in fifth class asked me for a phone. I said, not a chance. Sixth class asked me for a phone. I said, not a chance. Not until you're in first year. If I'm being honest, I wouldn't want to give it to her until she's 15.
Because
if I could. But the pressure was on me too as a parent, right? And so it's really hard when some parents are, you know, allowing their children to get into these smartphones at such a young age, because it does create that problem amongst the cohort of parents.
Now, this self-generated sexual imagery, I presume that's, it's probably straightforward, is it? I mean,
well, it would be taking the images of themselves. Exactly, and disseminating that.
However, what they're seeing online, which is generated by others, can be
far
really
more
disturbing.
Problematic. Yeah. But that's the problem, Pat. When I was growing up in the 90s, we had Eurotrash. That was probably the only kind of pornography you kind of had, right? Which was a kind of irreverent look at, like, you know, sexual habits through Europe. And then you had static images on a dusty shelf somewhere, and you'd never go in and ask for that, because my father would have heard from, you know, Seamus, the shopkeeper, your son was down looking at Hustler there earlier, right? So you'd never have done that, right? And so now with the availability in smartphones, what we're looking at here, because these guys who create Pat, are very clever, right? They know how to fire dopamine. That's what they're after. They're trying to get that anticipation reward center of the brain to fire, so you feel something positive, you feel something good. And so they know to fire that constantly, they need to be more extreme and more extreme and more extreme. And so currently pornography, and this is the really insidious part of it, currently pornography is all about stepfathers, stepsisters, stepmothers, stepbrothers. It's all about this stuff. And we've never had more blended families. And so if an 8-year-old consumes that, all of a sudden their stepmother is something to be sexually aroused by, or their stepsister or something.
At what age might arousal take place in boys and girls? You know, where they become actually interested in...
Yeah, around 13 or 14. But you see, this is what you'd say normally, but it's becoming early. It's becoming normalized earlier and earlier. And that's what the IWF found between 8 and 10-year-olds. You know, an 8-year-old getting aroused by a hardcore image of a girl being tied up, that's not normal. You know what I mean? And so pornography today is giving the message that, you know, girls get sexually aroused by having consent taken off them. And there was a very, really important report released there in November by SERP, the Sexual Exploitation Research Policy Institute. And they found that, you know, current sexual behaviours are being modified by current sexual content that they're consuming in a very negative way.
Now, when you talk about the dopamine triggers and the fact that, say, someone happens upon a pornographic image, however mild it might be, What happens after that? I mean, is the algorithm going to fire more at them?
Well, see, this is the thing. The algorithm in the phone is going to fire and the algorithm in the brain is going to fire, right? That's what happens here. That's the perfect storm. So the algorithm is going to fire more and it's going to shoot you more of the, what you consumed. And then you go down this very dark place because dopamine, which people don't really know, is it's involved in the reward anticipation center, but it's also involved in memory production. So when you open the fridge, you get a shot of dopamine to program your brain. This is where you get food from. And so when you consume pornography, it fires to say, this is where you get aroused from. Now, you can see where that leads you, Pat, into a very dark, because it's a very isolating and solitary behaviour to get involved in, to get stuck in pornography. And it's a huge problem, and we need to talk more about it.
Now, some people will say, well, my kid doesn't have a smartphone, therefore they're not seeing it.
No, that's not true.
They are seeing.
They are seeing it. Yeah, it's embedded into all things. It's all over the. It's in nearly everything where there's chat and where people can put images into chat, even in Roblox and all these kind of things. You have to be very careful about what your child is consuming. Or the iPad is another thing. Parents think my child doesn't have a smartphone.
Anything that can go
safe.
Online.
Yeah, I worked in a school there last year where a senior infant had consumed hardcore extreme material through their iPad. So it's not just the phone. Don't get caught thinking it's just the phone. It's in any device that allows your child to access.
Yeah, and therefore people would say, but my kid needs the internet for schoolwork.
Yeah, well, possibly, but you also have to make sure that you're watching what's happening, you're checking the history, you're checking to see what's going on in their device usage. And can I just give this, because it's really important for parents, Pat. At this time of year, Christmas, where cousins are coming into the family or friends from neighbours are coming into the family, it's very important. This is a case study I see all the time. An older cousin or an older friend comes into the family and there's an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old in there who adores him because he's 14 and he shows him hardcore extreme material to kind of show off. And there's a hard full stop on innocence. And so parents have to be aware of that. That's what's happening, that the older kid coming into the family is showing the younger kids this stuff.
Technical solutions. What about controls on phones, on devices?
Yeah,
are they good?
They are. But I mean, it's, you know, you're putting your finger in a dam. It's better than doing nothing. There are loads of things there that can cut off the apps. There's loads of things there that allow you to kind of stop, you know, say kids, YouTube is a very important one, not normal YouTube, because kids can see all sorts of things on normal YouTube.
Yeah.
And kids YouTube is a much better you know, platform for your child. So there's loads of things there within Androids, and there's loads of ways of kind of like monitoring your child's activity.
Can you actually pair your own phone in some way with your kid's phone so you can actually see everything they do?
With iPhone, you can, which is great. See,
okay.
With iPhone, that's what we use ourselves as family. And
so you can check every
access. I can check what's going on
access.
There. And I ask my daughter, who's 14 now, and she's not delighted with me, Pat, when I say, give me your phone there, let me have a look what's going on there. She's not delighted, and she'd say things to me like, what about my privacy? And I'd say, who says you get all this privacy? Right?
Yeah.
And that might sound draconian, but it's not. That's parenting. Because I'm not her best buddy, and I'm not her best friend. I'm her father.
Okay, and you have responsibilities,
yeah, exactly,
to keep her as far as you can on,
yeah,
the straight and narrow. When you, I'm saying suspect, but you say everyone should know their kid is accessing stuff one way or the other, even when you've got those controls.
Yeah,
how do you,
yeah,
talk to a child about that?
That's a really important question. And we have to be open with our children now, age appropriate, obviously, Pat. You know, I'm not like, you know, I have a 7-year-old daughter. I'm not talking to her about these kind of ideas,
yeah,
really heavy ideas, but with my 14-year-old and the 10-year-old beginning now to happen, you have to have open and frank conversations. We have to move away from the stigma, you know, of this talk about sex and about images and about what they'll see. And, you know, I suppose I kind of give my wife some tips to talk to my daughters about it, because, you know, my 14-year-old daughter might want her
dad,
yeah, about this kind of stuff. So I myself and my wife would have this conversation, but we would make sure that we do have this conversation with our daughter. And an important tip for parents on this notion and on this really important topic, I'd never use the phone as a parenting tool. It's very powerful to say to your daughter or your son, give me the phone, that's gone now. But you're cutting them off from their whole social,
yeah,
world. And so if they see an image that they're disturbed by, they won't come to you because they'll think you'll take the phone off them. And so what I'd say to my daughter is like, you know, we won't take the phone off you. We'll support you with whatever, yeah, you've seen.
But if you're worried about anything,
if you're worried about anything, come to us.
Now, we always associate the looking at porn with the teenage boy. Mm. Do girls look at this, and if they do, do they then model their own sexual behavior on what they see? If a girl is seen doing certain things and appears to be enjoying it, do they think that this is the way it has to be?
See, that's the problem with it all. It's normalising this idea of having consent. It's normalising being choked. It's kind of suggesting to you, like, you know, this is normal sexual arousal. And to be sex positive, Pat, to be very clear, is to be porn critical. Because if we want to have a society that promotes, because it's absolutely the most normal thing in an adolescent life to be sexually curious and to be sexually aroused. Well, you know, that's really normal. It's what you satiate that, you know, curiosity with. There's the issue. Because what's been foisted on children and us currently is the degradation and violence and consent taking of girls and women.
A lot of this stuff is available FOC, free of charge.
Oh, it's all free of charge.
So how is this monetized by the people who are manufacturing it?
Yeah, advertising. So they can say, we've got 300 million people watching. If you can advertise, you can advertise. There's the oldest, you know, it's the oldest form here. And so we do need the government to step in, Pat. We do need to have legislation to stop our children, at least our children, Pat. Because, like, you know, we're looking at a society where we say there's a lot of gender-based violence. How do we stop that? I don't think you need to be a clinical psychologist or psychiatrist to say, if we stop children from consuming hardcore material that gives them the message that girls are objects of desire and to take consent from them, we might see, you know, healthier, less pathological ideas in our boys.
And then how do you do that? Do you have to control the platforms?
You have to control the platforms.
That's
and
where
you,
it starts.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look what we did during COVID. We closed the whole thing down. If we want to, we can do it. You know, we made people, you know, we did a lot of restrictions there that we should show that we can, if we want, we can at least stop an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old from consuming these damaging ideas.
And finally, the smartphone's been around a while, so therefore teenagers who are now in their 20s have been consuming this stuff. Are there signs of impotence in those teenagers who no longer can function because they need more and more stimulation?
Yeah, well, that's
stimulation.
That's definitely there. I've worked with this a lot in my clinic, and it's such a good question. I would say there's that ED stuff, right? Definitely in there, erectile dysfunction, all that kind of stuff. But there's also addiction really present in relationships currently because of this stuff. Because the brain gets hardwired to consume, and so normal sex then and healthy, normal, intimate relationships are less interesting because the dopamine has been programmed to look for more extreme stuff. So to be intimate with someone is boring. The way I always said in my conversations, it's like going for a pint with someone or taking heroin, you know. The pint is kind of like
social
and it's good for you and you're chatting, and the heroin is bringing you down a very dark place, and that's what this addiction stuff
and
is.
This can predict an epidemic of domestic violence going
well of
forward.
Course it's in yeah. there It's in there as an ingredient.
All right, Richard, thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Richard Hogan, family psychotherapist, clinical director of the Therapy Institute and author of Home Is Where It Starts.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.